and happy holidays again. I'm the ghost of Christmas Past here with another alternative political history. For those just catching up, we are playing a little game of Choose Your Own Adventure and exploring how the world would be different if just one thing that happened in our nation's history did not actually happen. After the episodes, I'd love for you to send feedback, reviews, comments, Twitter, Facebook, whatever you want to do. Tell me what you think of any of the possibilities we may have missed or alternative histories you'd like to see us explore. We'd love to hear from you. As you know, exploring an alternative history helps you understand the actual history better. At least that's my theory of the case. Today's topic actually comes from the messages we received on Instagram. Many of you asked us to explore what would happen if the presidential assassinations in our nation's history didn't happen. Well, there's no better person to help bring a few presidents back to life than my next guest here, presidential historian Michael Beschloss. Mr. Beschloss, welcome.
Thanks, Chuck. In these times, I wish I could bring Kennedy and Lincoln back to life.
I bet. And I'm going to focus on those two. We could probably do another half hour on, boy, if McKinley lives, do we ever get Teddy Roosevelt?
Right,
There's a whole nother, you know. And the thing that I'm exploring with my side project on Garfield is, in many ways, did Garfield's assassination actually allow his agenda to go through? That's a whole other, you know, Chester Arthur ends up doing things he never would have done,
right?
Had Garfield not gotten shot. But we may have that question with LBJ. But let me just start there. So we're going to start with Lincoln. And the idea is if he lives and he finishes that term. So he finishes that term. What happens that term? Do we start with what happens to the Freedmen's Bureau? So let's begin there.
Yeah, you've got Lincoln who, you know, there are two alternative scenarios. And the fact is, you know, that he didn't live. So we don't know. So we're here to talk about it. No one can contradict us. So let's go right ahead.
Actually, everybody can contradict us.
Right. Well, everyone. Yes. No one can and be certain. Let's put it that
there
way.
There you go.
Okay. Lincoln would have been, I think, very aggressive in bringing black people into the center of American life as quickly as possible, including policy on the Freedmen's Bureau. The difference is that although radical Republicans tried to do that, Andrew Johnson was president, a president with a lot of Southern sympathies, an angry person without stature, without skills in dealing with Congress. If you had had Lincoln trying to impose Reconstruction on the South, bring black people into the center of American life as quickly as possible with full rights, with full involvement in our political system, who on the political scene in 1865 could have done that better than Abraham Lincoln, especially with the prestige of having won the Civil War?
So here we have, and to me, the better thing to do is sort of what we're really saying is, what if there's no Andrew Johnson, right? We basically go from Lincoln to Grant, and you look at Grant's first term, and there's a lot to Grant's first term that feels like, at least in his mind, he's doing what he thought Lincoln would have done.
Right.
You buy that?
I think he may have in his innocent way with good intentions, but Grant was no politician and was not someone who was subtle or with nuance or with particular standing. A lot of the things, as you know, that were said about Grant at the time were said wrongly about Eisenhower when he was president in the 1950s, which was great general, terrible president, because you can't have the skills to be both.
So I want to focus more on Johnson here. So what Johnson is somebody who clearly wants to keep the Democratic Party relevant.
Yes.
So if you don't have Johnson, what happens to the Democratic Party?
The Democratic Party becomes somewhat wild, probably in response to what's going on in the Republican Party. And you're saying without Andrew Johnson, with Lincoln as president?
Lincoln as president, because the point is, like, it always felt like Johnson was trying to keep the Democratic Party viable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
And playing a double game.
You don't have a president in there who isn't as interested in, you know, wants to keep the Republic together, but not necessarily feel it. He has to do party favors, right?
Absolutely. And also an angry person who is going to do total battle with the radical Republicans who were for as much rights for African Americans as possible. And so therefore, instead of Lincoln, who of all the people available would have been able to deal with all those difficulties in Congress and explaining to the North and South what he was trying to do, because it would have been very nuanced. It would not have been his policies would not have been totally acceptable to the North or people in the South who wished that the South would have won the war. But of all the people available, Lincoln could have done it. You find the diametrical opposite, and that's Andrew Johnson, both because he lacks the skills and also because, as you're saying, he had another agenda, which was he was a Democrat. He hated the radical Republicans. He was resentful. He was trying to get revenge against a lot of people in personal terms. And all that clouded what would have been already a very difficult problem for Lincoln had Lincoln lived.
So, you know, I've been, like I said, I've been working on the on sort of the era of Garfield a little bit before and after. And I almost wonder if the better alternative history is if Grant doesn't stop at Appomattox. And is that the better alternative history here when we're talking about Reconstruction, the South, rather than Lincoln's assassination? I say that because Northern Republicans, rank and file Republicans, were exhausted from the costs of the war, were exhausted from the divisiveness. They were looking to move past the war faster.
Sure.
And so I wonder if we're exploring the wrong alternative history here.
Well, and I think maybe we are more open to the idea that Lincoln was too soft on the South in the spring of 1865, because we know what happened in the next 150 years.
Right. In hindsight, never the kind of conciliation I was just going to say, is Lincoln's legacy different? And do we look at him as too soft on the South if he lived?
I think it really depends on what kind of country America is in the next 5 years. If we are on the verge of civil war, and I'm talking about 2021 and 2022, as some people are saying, I think very credibly, then people are going to be asking questions about Lincoln that they have not asked for 150 years, which would be, was he too soft? Was he too conciliatory? Was he too nice in hoping that something could be achieved in unifying in this country that maybe never would have been possible?
You know, it's interesting to me. Grant's instincts always were not to sit back, and he did at that point. Do we have Grant as president under that scenario?
If Lincoln had lived, possibly, because I could see Lincoln serving another term, and he intended, as you know, to only serve one more term, and then saying, you know, Grant may not have my political skills, but I will be around to advise him. He will have my mantle. You need someone who is going to consolidate the country, and who better for that than the victorious general of the Civil War, Union side.
All right, let's move up 100 years and go to Kennedy. And what was interesting is Jeff Greenfield noted that, you know, there was always the scare, what if Johnson had ended up president, if the health problems had gotten to Kennedy, and he wanted to go down the rabbit hole of the Cuban Missile Crisis with a president, Lyndon Johnson, and what that would have done. But I dissuaded him there, and I don't want to go there. So let's just go with, you know, there's always been this theory that the civil rights bills don't get passed without Kennedy's assassination. Do you buy that theory?
I think they would not have been passed as easily, and they might have been more limited, just because A, Kennedy did not have the congressional skills that Johnson had, as you well know, from having been a congressional leader in the House and Senate. And number two, Johnson was able to use the feeling about Kennedy to say, you may have some reservations about the Civil Rights Bill of 1964, but do this as a memorial to our beloved late president, which he did, and which he got some mileage from.
And obviously the 64 election gives LBJ congressional majorities that Kennedy may never have had.
Possible. If you take the point of view that one reason why Johnson won in 64 was that some people voted Democratic out of loyalty to Kennedy who might not have otherwise. I think
you seem skeptical. The way you just described that, you seem a little skeptical.
I am skeptical of that, because I think that if Kennedy had run against Goldwater, he would have won re-election by roughly the same amount for roughly the same reasons.
Well, let me ask you this. If Kennedy lives, does the Republican Party look for a more electable alternative? Did the theory that it was a tough election anyway allow Goldwater a clearer path to the nomination?
I don't think so. I mean, I know which way you're heading, and that, yeah. You know, you and I have to draw a judgment about the voters of 1964. I don't think that there were a lot of voters in the California primary who said, I'm looking at polls and Johnson's going to win anyway, and I like Nelson Rockefeller, who's a liberal, but it's an unwinnable election anyway, so why not have some fun and vote for Barry Goldwater. I just don't think that they were looking at that in as granular a way. I think what the 1964 primary election was in the Republican Party is that the right wing had been deprived of a nominee for decades, mm-hmm. and they finally had the opportunity of having a real conservative, and a lot of those issues in 1964 had matured. You know, how tough should you be on the Soviets, on Cuba? What should you do about civil rights? What should you do about unions? That was a year that I think would have been very ripe for Goldwater, even if Kennedy had lived. And as we know, Kennedy sure hoped he would be nominated.
So this goes to the theory then that Johnson, at least for the rest of the first term, was doing Kennedy's agenda, not his own?
Yes. And there were some things that Johnson didn't particularly like about Kennedy's agenda. We sometimes forget Kennedy was a fiscal conservative. He actually talked about balancing the budget as something that would be a nice thing to do if it were possible. Johnson never talked that way. As we know, he was perfectly happy to unbalance the budget by waging the Vietnam War at the same time as the Great Society, which led to the inflation of the 70s. I think you might not have had that had Kennedy served another term.
Well, you just said the V word, and that's the greatest debate of them all, right? What happens with Vietnam?
Right.
And I'm not as convinced as others are that Vietnam somehow doesn't escalate under Kennedy.
I think it would have escalated under Kennedy, but I think once Kennedy by 1966 saw that this was not going to work, which is when Johnson realized that it was not going to work, as we know from Johnson's tapes, Kennedy, because of his character and ideology, would have been much more suited than Johnson to just shut it down. A couple of reasons. Number one, psychiatrically, once Johnson was engaged in war, just given who he was, it would have been very hard for him to say, well, we overdid this. It's time to try to negotiate and stand down. That just was not in his nature, and it was not in the nature of the people who were advising him from Texas. Like, you remember the name A.W. Morrison,
yeah,
his closest friend, name that no one knew in the 1960s. But you listen to Johnson on the tapes, and Morrison, who was down in Johnson City and ran Johnson's private financial trust and did some other personal errands for him, they had been close since they were boys, would say, Lyndon, the one thing that Americans and especially people in Texas will never accept is weakness. There wouldn't have been someone credible with Kennedy giving that kind of advice.
All right. But let me push back on that. You have Bobby Kennedy claiming that Vietnam wouldn't have fallen to the communists.
What do you mean?
You know, right?
That Vietnam under...
Yeah, under Kennedy wouldn't have somehow fallen to the communists as fast.
Well, possibly. You know, that we cannot know. But
my point is that the Kennedys were pretty... I mean, particularly Dad, but they were cold warriors. I'm not as convinced he backs down as easily as some, I think.
See,
hope.
I think the thing with Kennedy is this is someone who, unlike Johnson, was skeptical of the generals, especially after the Bay of Pigs. So if Westmoreland and all these people, all these other generals are telling the president, escalate in Vietnam, this is a winnable war, Kennedy would have been a lot more skeptical of what they were saying than Johnson was. One of Johnson's grudges against Kennedy was that Kennedy did so much to contain the military.
One of my favorite little recent alternative history showcases is the Stephen King book, 11/22/60.
Right.
One of the theories it posits is if Kennedy lives, right? And the whole idea is somebody goes in there and stops the assassination, and Kennedy lives. And the punchline of the book essentially is, okay, so Kennedy finishes 8 years. Who replaces him? And the theory is George Wallace becomes president in 68. And I've thought about this a lot, and I've gone through, and I understand how the historians, and it's my understanding Stephen King worked with a bunch of historians to sort of come up, you know, he didn't just predict this willy-nilly. If you look at Obama to Trump, it's easy, and he came to this conclusion, you know, if you believe that sort of Trump was almost a reactionary response to Obama, then what they're positing is that Wallace would have been the reactionary response to 8 years of Kennedy and the civil rights movement. It's an interesting theory. What are your thoughts?
Well, it happened in 1968, and Wallace did win a lot of Southern states, but he did not win enough Southern states or any other states to win the election over Humphrey and Nixon. So there's no reason for me to think that with Kennedy in office, that would have happened more. And in fact, it probably would have happened less, because one of Johnson's problems was not only policy in Vietnam and not only the Great Society, which had some wonderful programs and some other programs that didn't work and antagonized some voters. Kennedy was a better political leader in communicating to Americans that this was sort of the path of progress, that this was sort of moderate. If you look at the speeches he was giving and intended to give in Texas last 2 days of his life, they read perfectly in 2021, 2022, because what he's doing is he's saying, you know, don't listen to these conspiracy theories of the radical right. They're un-American. They're not going to work. You know, some of the things I'm doing are progressive, but they're really in the mainstream. Johnson did not have that kind of nuance.
So to play this theory out of Kennedy, if Kennedy is 8 years in, and we assume he doesn't escalate Vietnam or starts to de-escalate it by 66 in some form or another, then we don't get Richard Nixon, do we?
No, because I don't think you get Nixon in a million years. And I think
that to me is the biggest change, right?
Drop my mic. Well, that's my response to what you were saying.
I was just going
to
say, you made such an important point, you dropped the mic.
No, I was responding to your important point, Chuck. Let me just clip this thing on.
So essentially that to use the biggest change in history is no Richard Nixon.
Richard Nixon in a million years. Richard Nixon was a fluke that happened because of a lot of fluky things that happened by the fall of 1968, culminating ironically with the assassination of Robert Kennedy. Let's say in the fall of 1968, Robert Kennedy lives and maybe even is not nominated by the Democrats, which I think he would not have been.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, RFK would have been campaigning at Hubert Humphrey's side, urging him to be more peace-loving and against the Vietnam War. As you know, that was an election that was won by 400,000 popular votes. Think that wouldn't have made a difference?
There is somebody gave me it's not a book, it's more of a short story, but Russell Baker wrote an alternative history. You ever heard of this book? Wrote an alternative history about the 68 campaign.
I vaguely know about it, but I don't remember it.
It culminates, I'll give you the punch, it culminates that somehow it's a Johnson-Kennedy ticket. So Johnson runs again, and Kennedy is his running mate. It's such a close election. It goes to the House. Anyway, the House is deadlocked. Kennedy gets elected vice president, and essentially Kennedy becomes president.
Right.
And that's how the story ends. It's just a wonderful imagination of Russell Baker writing this sometime in the early 70s.
Yeah, I think. But in reality, I think, you know, going back to 63 and looking ahead, John Kennedy, we know historically from evidence, expected 1968 and the Democratic Party to be a race between Lyndon Johnson and Robert Kennedy. And he was not looking forward to it.
That.
Oh, he said that many times to people in private, that that's what it was going to be. And needless to say, you know who the incumbent president would have been on the side of, certainly his brother. And maybe it is said that Ted Sorensen said that if Bobby had been elected in 1968 on the heels of Jack, Jack might well have served as Bobby's Secretary of State. And so that's an alternative scenario that's very nice to think about.
My word. I hear that and I just sit back and wonder, we like to flirt with political dynasties, but we don't love them, right? You know, we would have had Kennedy burnout at some point that I don't think people fully will have fully processed. the love affair with the Kennedys comes because of the tragedies in some ways. What is the love affair with the Kennedys without the tragedies? And I'm not trying to be disrespectful to that, but you can't not think about that aspect to the Kennedy lore, right?
I agree with you, but the other way of looking at it would be you get to 1968, there's no lethal, disastrous war in Vietnam, so America is relatively at peace. Mm-hmm. The country is booming as never before, as it indeed was in real life in the late 1960s. And even with what happened, the Vietnam smash up, as we've been saying, Hubert Humphrey almost won in 1968. So if you delete Vietnam, whoever was the Democratic candidate would have been in a very strong position.
Much stronger position.
Especially with the incumbent president, JFK, helping his brother and promising continuity, saying, don't mess up a good thing.
Well, I you see why I love doing this, because
same here. You can't be wrong.
It's fun to go through the scenario. So let me ask you this as an historian. My initial motivation of this is my favorite butterfly effect of the 2000 election is a Secretary of State's race in 1998 in Florida that the Democrats were poised to win, and then Republicans realized they had a scandal-plagued incumbent. They recruited this woman named Catherine Harris to primary the incumbent. Yada, yada, yada. We know the rest is history. But if a Democrat wins that race in 98, Florida doesn't get certified. And,
Al Gore is
president. My point is that there's all these little butterfly moments in American history that have nothing to do with the great man or woman theory, that literally have to do with accidents.
Right? Could I bring another in?
That's what I want you to do. Bring me more than what? Okay. Give me two or three of your favorite butterfly effects before we
1976. Most people forget. I know that you know this. Eugene McCarthy was running as a third party candidate in New York State.
Okay,
and he was getting a few percent of the vote, and it was very close between Gerald Ford and Jimmy Carter. And the Carter people were moving heaven and earth to get McCarthy off the ballot because they felt that those were Democratic votes that were being robbed from Jimmy Carter and might deprive him of getting elected. So if McCarthy had stayed on the ballot and New York State had gone to Gerald Ford, who would have been elected president in 76?
Gerald Ford's president. Ronald Reagan never becomes president.
Right,
does
right.
He?
And the whole trajectory is different. No Bushes. Right.
Of course, there's the other theory is if Kennedy lived, Reagan might become president in 72 or 76.
Possible. If you look at Reagan as the biggest example of a champion of the right-wing backlash that began in 66 to civil rights.
And he had a platform, the governorship of California, right? That's a huge platform to have.
Right. And Lyndon Johnson, who was down in Texas in the fall of 1966, was watching Reagan running for governor of California in 1966. And Johnson was watching the backlash to civil rights in the Great Society. He thought that Reagan might be the person who would lead that backlash. He saw it even before Reagan was governor.
So in that sense, is there any scenario that doesn't lead the Republican Party to go farther to the right?
Yes.
Basically, is there any scenario that makes Nelson Rockefeller the leader of the Republican Party anytime between 63 and 80?
I think not Nelson Rockefeller, because there was already such anger at Rockefeller, both as a liberal and, oddly enough, as a divorced man, which in those days was a stigma that, thank God, is not there now, divorced anyone. But if you had had another moderate, let's say a Scranton or, a really effective Republican moderate.
George Romney, without at that time, his faith was going to always be an issue and a hurdle for him. But a non-Mormon George Romney.
I think if you had had an effective political, or if you had had, let's say, Nixon, who basically was opportunistic, but let's say that Nixon had wanted to transform the Republican Party so that it would be a party of Eisenhower and not a party of Ronald Reagan. If Nixon had wanted to spend the energy on doing that, he might have done so, and future Republican candidates might have been more of the order of Gerald Ford, George H.W. Bush, Mitt Romney in his more moderate moments, rather than what we have seen.
Well, there you go. Just a taste of what it's like to crawl into the brain of Michael Beschloss and all.
And the brain of Chuck Todd. This is so much fun.
It is. And I could keep going, but I think a half hour of this is good for folks. So appreciate the time, Michael.
Completely loved it. Thank you, Chuck. Be well.
You've been listening to the Chuck Todcast from Meet the Press. Today's episode was produced by Justice Gilpin Green and Matt Rivera. John Reese is our executive producer. Our theme music composed by Spoke Media. You can catch Meet the Press daily on MSNBC every day at 1 p.m. Eastern. Meet the Press Reports is on demand on Peacock, so subscribe now or download the app. Or The Big Show is available every Sunday morning on any platform you desire, including your local NBC station. Thanks for listening. And this video uploaded to you.